Okay, so today what I'd like to do is I want to finish up this discussion relating to like medical devices and things like that that they speak about in the poskim, and then hopefully once we finish that whole discussion, we should be able to figure out what the halacha is going to be with regard to actual like practical things that come up, like a cast, if a woman has a cast on her, or if there's stitches, someone has stitches, or whether they be in the mouth, general surgery, or something like that. Or, as Daniel Salzberger mentioned to me this morning, if you have a diabetic, they have insulin pumps, when, instead of, I remember when I was a kid, there was a guy who had diabetes in shul, and every on Shabbos, like, he would just, like, take out, like, we were just sitting there, he'd take out a pin, he'd prick his finger, he'd check his, like right in front of everybody, like, all the time. Because that's the way they used to have to do it. But now they have these monitors that are embedded in the skin, and there are pumps that will pump in insulin as needed based on this constantly monitoring the person. But you got to switch out those monitors. What are they called? There are two pieces. There's the pump, that's easy. That you can just throw out. But then there's the part that stays in. What's that called?
I don't know what it's called, but it's in all the time.
It's there, yeah. So it has like a little needle that's inside, and then it's like has an adhesive that stays on the skin. So we'll have to talk about all of those things, or at least try to come to some understanding of what the potential kulas will be. But before we get there, we have to just discuss this fundamental machlokas between, on the one hand, the Sidrei Tahara, and on the other hand, the Netziv. So the Sidrei Tahara quotes a Mordechai that all the poskim quote. The Mordechai is quoted by the Ksav Sofer, it's quoted by everybody. It's quoted in Beis Yosef over here. This is apparently a fundamental Mordechai, where he writes that Osam Nashim Shiesh Lahen Valkashtrash Bisaro Shanaslam Klus Kmachma Shev Sakamasufashos Legalchodolochaiti, that there's something in the hair that they had, something that was braided into the hair, that for some reason is not a chatzitza. What is the reason that it's not a chatzitza? So the Shiur HaTorah, he quotes here from the Mordechai, three reasons it's not a chatzitza. Number one, the kibud de mahat kituva zebizavi kabalua, ubeis asarim de lo matami, the kibud lo matami lo chaitzi. That since it's totally, it's so connected to each other, it's as if it's balua, because wherever that chatzitza is, it's never exposed to the atmosphere. V'od, second of all, kaimalan, shloshanim kshuros enam chatzitzos. Then if you have three strands of hair that are tied together, that are knotted together, they're not going to be chatzitza. Even if it's not a balua and it's not a beis hastarim, it's still not going to be chatzitza. It allows water in between. And number three, va'od shekim shalmatzi legalchon mipnei hasakana havi rabisa v'lo chaitzi. That since you can't remove it because it's sakana, we apply the principle of hainu rabise, that's the natural way that it needs to exist, and therefore it's not a chatzitza at all. That svara of hainu rabise, as we pointed out last time, is based on the Gemara in Yevamos, Daf Ayin Ches, where the Gemara talks about why it is that the mother is not a chatzitza for the baby when a pregnant woman is megayer. How could that tevila work for the baby? He's got this giant chatzitza around him, called the mother, right? So isn't that a huge chatzitza? And you're going to tell me, oh, but it's a rov she'en omakbe. No, it's kulo. Kulo is always a chatzitza. So that should be a real problem of chatzitza. So the Gemara said, no, shani uber dehainu rabise. Hainu rabise means it's the normal way of it to grow, normal way of it to develop, and therefore it's not a chatzitza. So says the Mordechai, the same is true about this hair business, that since it's you can't shave it off because of a sakana, that becomes hainu rabise, which seems to be a very fascinating svara. He seems to be saying that anything that's dangerous to remove becomes hainu rabise, meaning what's the vart of hainu rabise of the tinok, is that if you'd remove the mother from around the tinok, it would be very dangerous for the tinok. So too, if you anything that would be dangerous to remove, you say hainu rabise. So part of the question becomes, is can you isolate each of these svaras and rely on each one individually? I mean, can we just say anytime something is a sakana to remove, mela, it's not going to be a chatzitza. That's hainu rabise. And then you can say, well, wait a second, sakana? How much of a sakana does it have to be? Like, do you have to be sure that you're going to die? Is it safik mikuach nefesh? What if it's not mikuach nefesh at all? It's just really uncomfortable, or will get you ill, or get you, or something like that, right? Meaning, is a cast a sakana to remove? Can you say maybe a svara that to have a cast while a bone is healing, that hainu rabise, because it could do permanent damage to the person's bone if he doesn't, if it's not set in place properly after, you know, for a certain period of time, right? How much are these svaras independent of each other? So the Ramah in Sivvav quotes this Mordechai Lahalacha, and that's why this Sidrei Tara is going on Sivvav, right? Because the Ramah writes, he doesn't quote the three reasons, but he's quoting the Mordechai with that has all these three reasons. So comes along the Shirei Tara, and he quotes a Tiferes Lemoshe. And he essentially says, I don't know how many of you saw it inside, but he starts by quoting Tiferes Lemoshe about a woman that had gone to the mikveh with some type of string inside of her braids in her hair. And he required, the Tiferes Moshe required that she go back to the mikveh for a second tevila. Because he says, you know, I don't paskin like the first heter. First heter, the Mordechai was out, it was balua. I don't think that's true. The second heter was the primary heter of the Mordechai. And the second heter was shloshanim and kshuros and chotzitzos. But that heter only works when it's three hairs tied to each other. But if you have something else attached to the hair, you're not going to say l'chotzos. I mean, what's the svara? Why is that not a chotzitza when three hairs are not together? What's the svara? We assume it's not so tight, right? That water will get in between. You can't say that about foreign substances that are on the hair. So if the primary svara lahakel was svara number two of the Mordechai, then anytime you're dealing with a foreign substance, it's not gonna apply. That's what the Tiferes Moshe suggested. Then he suggested that if the third reason applies, that it's sakana lahotzi, maybe you could combine the first and the third reasons and be makel. Meaning maybe if what you have in the hair is something that's a sakana to take out of the hair, so then maybe you can combine the two reasons together. And then he proves that the idea of sakana is really a third reason, that one might have wanted to read it as just like an extension of the first two reasons. And he proves that no, it's an independent reason, and therefore there's room to combine reason number three with reason number one, even if reason number two does not apply, or reason number three with reason number two if reason number one does not apply. Because so that's what the Shirei Tara writes, and then he says. He quotes the Tshuvas Panim Me'iros. Chelik Beis Mikuf Mem Zayin. Shenishal Be'isha Shacholsa Va'amu La'arofim Sheila Takana Lekei Shetasala Mar Lakin Al Yidei Pizor Samim Ketushim Val Yidei Zeh Nistabcho Asa'aros. That a woman had some sort of ailment, some sort of illness, and doctors told her that she had to put something in her hair that would cause her hair to become all tangled as a refuah. So the question is that a chatzitza? Veheshiv leisur, and he said that it's aser, and he quotes this Mordechai, and he says, well, ubedino zesh, rotz masla yidei tichposhes, hashay tamirishon lo shaychi. Since you're putting something, some foreign substance on the hair, first two reasons don't apply. The whole reason was considered balua. That was the first reason that had there. That's only because it was made misa'aros atzman. But something that's a midover achar ala sa'aros, you're not going to say that the surface of the hair, that this foreign item, that this external item is resting on, is balua. There's no reason to say that way. So heter number one doesn't apply. The second reason that shaloshnim kshuro sein chotzos, because water will get in lo shaych hecha dahayich shash makvus kshuro sein chotzos alayin shasali de pziris hasamim vade chaytzi. Over here, you're not going to say that it's a foreign substance that sticks and adheres very well to the hair. The ein lanu lihishain ella alavinish rashmain, but also al tam dahein rabiza. That the only thing you have left to rely on is Haina Rabisa, is the svar of Haina Rabisa. So he says, I don't know that this is a refuah beduka. I don't know that you so desperately need it. And he says, v'kam lo shaykh lomar hachi Rabisa, tzrich lor lomar, dim hoi li isha choli kazeh, v'yirofi mumcha magada, shir shal shapos, ela yasiyas, mar lakin elu, lo isa makpedas, im kein v'chei gavne b'kulan, eina makpedas. So he says, if it's you could say with confidence that this is her only refuah, maybe it turns into something that's eno makbid. Then the Sidrei Tara ultimately is mekel, because he says anybody who has these kleos wouldn't be makbid about them, and it would be similar to halach in Sif Yud Zayin of Mishu Tzaba, the Yad of Tzavuos, that in a chotzeit. I mean, it would be similar. If you could be confident that anyone with this condition would be told by a doctor that this is the way to have a refuah, you need this on your body in order to be healed, then you could say it's like a painter that has some paint on their fingertips. And then we say that's a whole category of people, and that category of people are not makbid. So too over here, anyone with this condition is a category of person, and therefore it's not makbid. He then writes very interestingly at the end, Ukvar yadua kishaposek maybe taimim harbe lahatir she'ein lulam iza lahatir ella mehani gavni d'shaychi nami kol hani tamim. He says, in general, whenever a posek has three reasons to be makel, so he's not telling you that it has three good reasons to be makel. What he's telling you is that in a combination of three subpar reasons, you can be makel. There's enough to build up a kula. But you cannot take a situation where only one of those reasons is going to be shayich and say, oh, now I can be makel. And therefore, to just apply Hein Rabisa, it's very schwer, because Hein Rabisa was one of the three reasons that the Mordechai gave, and he felt the need for another two. He didn't just say, you know, end the story by quoting those three reasons. Then he says, and also the idea that it's like a painter, I don't know, it seems like a weaker kind of svara. Va'odim came for a tia shal gavi amaket. The sifyur of Ben shal gavi amaket because I'm shal shever. Sif chav gimel nami ne ma'achi. Shal kol b'yam shei shal amaket shever in makvidim bekach kim shem shabim bo. He said it's mufurish in shulchan aruch that bandage is a chatzitza. If you're going to really apply the svara of Hanan Rabbi Yisrael, then anything that's healthy for a person, that everyone in this category who suffers from this ailment would need this, would be told by a doctor, by a reliable doctor, this is what's appropriate for you, this is what you need, then it's okay, then it's like the painter. Everybody who has a boo-boo gets a band-aid. So why are band-aids a chatzitza? They shouldn't, but they are a chatzitza. It's mufurish shulchan aruch, they're a chatzitza. Elamai, something's wrong with my svara, right? Something's wrong with the svara of saying that it's just like a painter. Ubal karch tzarch lomer d'shayni b'hayi d'kliyo sarsh nasayi d'shayid sakona l'asinu. He says it's one thing where you have something that's a sakana to remove versus something that's not a sakana to remove, and it's very easy to remove for a few minutes here and there. A band-aid you can take off for a few minutes, nothing's going to happen. But these things that the Mordechai was talking about, as far as most of that these posts were talking about, were things that were dangerous to remove. So when it's dangerous to remove, then in Chinami, whether it be the svar of Hein Rabise, or whether you go with the svar of everyone in that category, so that's where you can apply such a svar. But short of danger, you cannot apply such a svar. Now it happens to be the Badei Shulchan in Siyun and in Sivkat and Sadi Dalit thinks that the Iker reason for the Mordechai is Hein Rabise. But he seems to understand that that only works on account of Sakana, that Hein Rabise is not going to help unless it's a sakana. Rabbi Reis, it's kedai to see, in Kanfe Yona, Rabbi Reis has a sefer called Kanfe Yona. So in Simin Yud Gimel of Kanfe Yona, he deals with the shaila that he had, and I mentioned it to you about a Gerus candidate who had dreadlocks. So I never knew how dreadlocks worked until Rabbi Reis told me about this shaila, but apparently you can't just like unbraid them. Right, if someone has braids, they could just unbraid their hair and brush out their hair, and they'll get rid of all the knots, they'll get rid of all the braids. Apparently, when you have dreadlocks, the only way to get rid of them is just shave them off. There's nothing else that you could do. They're there, or you're bald. That's the only way to get rid of them, at least in short order. I imagine if you allow your hair to grow for long enough, there's some time they could just cut off, you know, the old dreadlocks. But a woman wanted to convert, and she had, I think it was a woman, wanted to convert, and she had dreadlocks. So what do you do? That's a major chatzitza shayla. There's nothing you could do about it. So Rabbi Reis discusses whether there's anything to do about it. So Rabbi Reis writes in Kanfe Yona that v'nira da adraba afilu inema da tama shlishi shel Mordechai havia ikur taimei. Even if we say Hein Rabbi says the ikur time of the Mordechai, nira da talitanya b'dolotanya. Shalomatsinu hetel chatzitza b'nei ha-sakana, el hetel b'yisvar shalhen rabise. Meaning, what's the situation that I was saying? It better be a sakana to apply hetel rabise. Dreadlocks are in the sakana, right? You can shave them off, no one's going to die from shaving off the dreadlocks, unless it's like part of belonging to a gang or something, and you get killed for taking them off or something. But in normal circumstances, it's not a sakana to remove dreadlocks, right? So if it's not a matter of sakana, the Sujitar is going to say we're going to have to be machmir. So says Rabbi Reis, sakana plays into chatzitza, meaning why should sakana make a difference in chatzitza? What makes them chatzitza is rove and makbid. Sakana is not really the issue. What's really the issue is Hainu Rabisa. It's that's the natural way for it to be for this person, and that it can't exist otherwise. So he says it could be that a person who has dreadlocks, you've gotten to the point of Hainu Rabisa. You know, he brings a Pisri Tshuva in the name of the Panamiros, same Panamiros that the Sidre Torah quoted. About a woman who was, you know, the panamiros, about a woman who had to put some ground up samim in her hair, and that was considered a rov and a chatzitza. And Rabbi Reis suggested that there's simply putting a foreign substance in her hair and just making and shaping the hair in a certain way. And then he attaches as a snif, shita sarambam, that the hair is measured together with the rest of the body, which would mean that it's a miut, right? You need to measure the hair together with the rest of the body, not independent of the rest of the body. And you have Rosh Hashanah Kluger. That Rubo ve'eno makbid is an interesting sheet of Rishon Kluger, that Rubo ve'eno makbid is okay for a ger. Why would it be okay for a ger? The Gemara is explicit. Rubo ve'eno makbid, the chacham war goes there. Yeah, but we have a principle, says Rishon Kluger, that the chacham war goes there only on a milsa de shchicha. But a milsa lo shchicha lo gazri be'rabana. How many people come to be Megayer? Not so many people. So milsa lo shchicha lo gazri be'rabana, since it's milsa lo shchicha, the rabbana were not goes there. On Rubo She'enu Makbid for a ger. Now that is an enormous chiddush. Every part of it, right? Meaning, first of all, there goes about Tvila. Tvila is a milsa de shchicha, right? It has nothing to do with ger, not ger, right? To start dividing it up. But why you go to the rules of Tvila, the rules of Tvila. Second of all, is gerus really such a milsa de shchicha? I don't know. Ask Rabbi Ram. He teaches right across the street over here. I think he does something like 120 to 150 gerus in a year. Okay, granted, it's the biggest scarce in America, but, in Chicago they do another 50, in Los Angeles they probably do another 50, right? So there are garrison that are done throughout a couple of hundred a year in America.
Well, what would Barry be saying about the
bandages? Yeah, so we have, well, first of all, bandage is a foreign substance, foreign item on there, so this is a lot better, right? Because this is just the hair itself, and that's his ikar svara, right? His ikar svara is that it's shaping the hair in a certain way to make certain parts of the hair balua, right? Because they're never exposed. They never get undone, meaning that's part of the kunz. So maybe that actually is balua. I think that's the primary svara that Rabbi Reis has. But we don't have to speculate. You can ask him next time he's in town. Yeah.
But the hair keeps growing.
Right. But in the meantime,
if we know that it's about to change, over the course of the next couple of months.
So that's part of the question also. Do you say that, meaning that goes back to the Zichron Yosef, right? Meaning Zichron Yosef said that if you know that something is going to stay and must stay for X amount of time, it can't be undone for X amount of time, then that's not that's called Eino Makbid, right? That's not a, even though eventually it's going to be taken off. So I think almost every posek that tries to come up with kulas in this area uses that Zichron Yosef also. Meaning the reason poskim are machmir about bandages, they say, the Ksav Sofer said, is because you check a bandage. You take it off just to check the wound all the time. Which means that there is no time that it's stuck on there. Even when the wound is still there, you change the dressing, you check what's going on under there, you put a little more of that neosporin or something on it to prevent infection. Right? I mean, you're always removing it and moving it and checking it. But if you have the kind of thing that can't easily be removed, and this is very critical in terms of how the halacha is going to play out, with stitches, right? Meaning it's something you can't just take off when you feel like taking it off. What's that? Probably. We don't rely on this kisei there. I think Rabbi Reis is throwing this in as a sniff, right? I mean, this Shlomo Kluger was a very creative thinker. He had a lot of very creative ideas in halacha, and a lot of them were not widely accepted, but so this would be in that category. Now, the Netziv disagrees with the Shirei Tana. In Meshav Davar Chel Pesim Lam Vav, he talks about a woman who has a ka'ev rosh, and they made some sort of braids in her hair, Ali de Bishel is the Esav Yadua, they put in some sort of herbs in her hair or something that somehow was going to help with her headaches. I don't know what sort of remedy this was, but we'll just take it at face value that this was a remedy that they had. So he writes, what should she do for Tzvilas Mitzvah? So he says, you know, Malus Kvod Rav Nichmas L'Cheshbonos Rabbos B'Kol Yisveikos V'Od. He got into all these Cheshbonos. L'Nias Daiti Enshim Tzorach Mizes. Stop getting so lumdish. You know, the Shoal is going through the Shach's Kvod Yisveikos and Yisveikos, and does this apply? And this is like Yisveikos and this and that. He says, you're getting too complicated. Stop being such a lumdin. Achar Shekvar Yodas Bebiru Shaklios L'Revuala Ein Bazeh Shum Chatzit Zaklag Uksfar Samorchai. He says, if you know that it's for refuah, the Mordechai told you that if it's for refuah, Haynu Rabbi say, there's no chatzitza. Huge chiddush. Because it's not what the Mordechai said. The Mordechai said, not if you know that it's for refuah, what did the Mordechai say? Sakana. Sakana is different than refuah. That's Aleph. Beis, the Mordechai said, three svaras lahakel in a particular situation he was talking about. And then it says, yeah, but third one, that's the good one. And that's enough for him. And he brings a raya. He says the grub brings a raya from Yodos Hakelim. We'll get to that later. So he says ubabazela afuke mashakos vagon sidrei tara simun kufzai dichesim kani yates dachir rabisa lo sheichal mashu kein betolda. He says, you know, the sidrei tara wants you to believe that Haru Rabisa is only something. I forgot to even mention this part. I think. The only something that comes like naturally as part of the body. Velas, not true. El kiven to derech isha zul estrapos ali veklios. Hen rabbi said dida, she usaros v'gushachot. That if the woman needs her hair to be braided in order for it to work, there are women that have like very high, like high sensitivities relating to how their hair is in terms of headaches. I had a case once where a woman had migraines, like terrible, terrible migraines, to the point that she almost wanted to shave her head. She felt that just the weight of her hair was giving her like horrendous migraines. So she was mamish ready to shave her head. So, and she got to the point where putting anything on her head, anything, a shetel, a bandana, anything would give her, she would knock her out for 3 days. Like it would give her such massive headaches. So she wanted to know if she has a heter in such a situation to get herself a very short haircut and not cover her hair under those circumstances. So I think it's from the rabbis, that's true. Listen to what the tzaddikim are. But it's a very, very, you know, people have these, people who suffer from migraines and these kinds of things, that's the impression you get from the tzaddikim and the sidrei tara, that these are the kinds of situations that they're talking about, right? So they had something that they would do to the hair that would braid the hair itself. So she knows this is what she needs for her refuah. Haynu Rabisa, he says. And he says, the Shirei Tara called upon me Eros, that you gotta be Machmir. He says, that's because the doctors didn't know. They weren't even sure if it was the right thing. They were, you know, just throwing things against the wall, seeing what would stick. So they tried, you know, they said, oh, maybe try this. But if they would have known, then for sure it would be okay. And then he says, and also, what's your alternative over here? I mean, this is a woman who can't live like this. So he says, it's not an option. Meaning, the option can't be that they have to get divorced, right? Meaning, if she can't go to the mikvah otherwise. We need a kula. Like a bandage on a makkah. Ain't near a cloud. The mali cholishiyesh bo sakonos nefashos, so ain't bo sakonos nefashos. Kol machla ukeev kashalis bo vosu refuah b'mashevsha. He says, why should sakana matter? There's no din called sakana in chatzitza. There's a din called hanu rabisei. So if something is a refuah, then that's hanu rabisei. So essentially, he says the only important factor is that it's a refuah, which is automatically not a chatzitza based on the Mordechai of hanu rabisei. when the Shiur HaTorah said that Hayin Rabisa is only something that comes naturally, he's wrong. It's normal to do anything for Refuah, and that becomes Rabisa, even if it's an external item. But that's something to get, that machlokas is critical. Right? Can you say about something external to the body, that's not a normal function or growth of the body, Hayin Rabisa? Machlokas, Shiur HaTorah, and the Mitzvah. 30 says, even the Panamidros is more machmir by Refuah. Was only speaking about a case where they didn't know if it would work, so it was a suffix refuah. But when it's not a suffix refuah, then it's fine. Fourth, he says, it's particularly important if there's no other way to be mitar yish of the baila. So you have to take that into account. I mean, that's always taken into account. You always have to take into account, like, what are we talking about here? Are we talking waiting 3 more days till she can, you know, get her stitches removed? You know, that's a very different shaila than saying, oh, I guess the couple has to get divorced, right? Meaning those are very, very different questions. So he says you have to keep that in mind, what the questions. You know, yesterday I asked Rabbi Sablowski in the Q&A about a woman who the fertility doctor said they want her at the mikveh 10 days after she gets her period. And I asked Rabbi Sablowski, should she do it like Rabbi Pesach Frank? Meaning, and not go to the mikveh 1 month. And then, if she has a short period the next month, she could just count right into the Shiva Nikiyim and maybe get there after 10 days, which would mean she'll be Tameya for 3 weeks straight, right? Or should she just become a Sephardi? Meaning, is that enough of a reason to let her become a Sephardi and count the Shiva Nikiyim? Count the 4 days from the last time she had Tashmish rather than from when she got her period. So Rabbi Sablowski said, nah, you don't do like Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. Why did I ask him? Because I remember just had the Shaila last week and I asked Rav Shechter, and he said, before you make her into a Sephardi, you got to do Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank first. So you have to try that first. So, okay, I just wanted to see it, which seemed I never heard anyone say that. So I was a little shocked by Rav Shechter saying that. I wanted to make sure that I wasn't crazy, and Baruch Hashem, I have a pretty good track record of still not being crazy.
Was Rabbi Sablowski saying that even before you become Sephardi, it's better to do IUI?
Yeah, he was saying that depending on what your posting feel about IUI, I probably shouldn't say this, in that case it would. Meaning my experience with IUI is that usually it's just a hechi timtza to get everyone on the same page about going to IVF. Meaning, it never works, is my experience. But in this case, it's going to work as well as Tashmish will work. So probably, meaning IVF is when Tashmish isn't working, right? So they try IUI before they try IVF. They hope that the more concentrated, putting it right where it needs to be in the Isha is gonna help. Usually it doesn't. But in this case it would, right? Because in this case it's just some basic attachment. Yeah.
The Mitzvah says that it doesn't need to be a sakana, and if the external, then how do you build the Shulchan Aruch and the bandages?
He says it doesn't need to be a sakana, it could be external. So what he'd probably say is like the Ksav Sofer, that bandages are something that you could always take off, meaning like the Zichron Yosef, that you can be makel even on something external as long as it's there for a long time and can't be removed until the long time, which is a major, major svara lahakel in the following case, right? So let's talk about it now. A woman goes to a endodontist, so the ones that take out the wisdom teeth? Yeah?
Oral
surgeon? What's an endodontist? Oh, they do root canals, right? Yeah. So the oral surgeon, right? So he takes out the wisdom teeth, and after he takes out the wisdom teeth, I'm looking in the wrong place. So after your dad is which one? Which one?
He doesn't do.
He doesn't do either of those things. What does he do? He does many
implants, bone grafts, gum grafts.
Oh, okay. But also, so if you do implants and bone grafts and these, so what's he called?
Technically, implantologist.
Okay. So if you have someone, Lamai said at the end of the day, he's putting a lot of stitches in, right? Yeah, I've been to enough of these. So he's putting a lot of stitches in. So a woman has that, and they put a lot of stitches in. So and then she needs to go to the mikveh. Are those stitches the chatzitza? No, svar is lahakel. Something? Svar lahakel. Stitches. What?
Fixed
period of time. Can't take stitches out early. Right? I mean, for X number of weeks, these stitches need to be there to stop the bleeding. And therefore, you have Zichron Yosef. Right? No, what else? Hein Rabise. Right? It's for Rafua. And then it says, doesn't need to be a Sakana, so it's probably not a Sakana. Although, it could be even that it's Chashash Sakana. Why? Yeah, risk of infection is Sakana. So there's a reason they close these wounds, not just because they don't want you like swallowing your own blood for the next 3 weeks, but it's a risk of infection. So it could even be Sakana. So you have this, the Mordechai's Hein Rabise. If you follow one of the Mordechai's, you know, if you say that that's the Iker, that that's the Iker. What about a cast? Any stars to be made by a cast?
That's how long it is. It could be Hinner Bisei.
Yeah, so depending on how long it is, maybe there's a svar to say Hinner Bisei. A little harder, though. Right? Why is it a little more challenging with a cast? Because a cast, sometimes they change it. Right? If it gets gross and smelly or whatever, they just cut it off. They put a new one on. Or every little once in a while, even if you need the cast for 3 months, they'll change it every couple of weeks and see how it's healing and take x-rays and do things like that, which is exactly the svara that the Ksav Sofer used to explain why a bandage is a problem. So it's difficult, right? The cast is going to be much, much harder. To be makel to go to the mikvah with a cast is going to be, I've heard of it happening, but it's going to be much, much more difficult to be makel for such a case. 1 second, what about the, I guess it's a good question.
I feel like the cast is like some room between the cast and the body, but I feel like it's similar.
If it's loose, it can't be too loose though. Meaning, it's got to be loose enough that they can, you know, scratch an itch, right? They stick something in to scratch an itch.
Yes, I'm saying. I feel like.
So maybe it's loose enough that it allows water in. Okay, maybe that's as far as we make with the cast. But there have to be parts that are like resting on the. I don't know. Yeah.
Are the stitches that dissolve?
So back to the dental stitches, right? To implantologists and everybody else. Meaning when they is that really?
I hope I got it right. He's gonna be upset.
So when they put the stitches in, they tell you, don't worry, we don't have to take these stitches out because these are the fancy stitches. They are dissolvable. So one sort of that Poskim used to say is, oh, dissolvable stitches. That means it's part of your body because it just melds into your body. It becomes part of your body. That is not true. Meaning, anyone who's ever had those stitches, I've had my share of dental work in my lifetime. I think I went to your dad once many years ago, actually. But I think I've had my share of dental work in my lifetime. Definitely family members of mine have. No, older generation, not younger generation. I've had my share of stitches in my mouth. And when they tell you they dissolve, they don't dissolve. What it means is that once they're no longer needed, they pop right off. And then you spit them out for the next, you know, month. Like, as you usually, yeah, what's that? Oh, another one of the stitches came out. So that's what it is. It doesn't become part of your body. They just, like, fall off as you don't need them anymore. Which, by the way, is the way the Sidrei Torah described this hair business. Right? Meaning the svara to be makel is that it comes off on its own. And no one ever has to take it off. The fact that it comes off on its own. So it's not that it becomes part of your body. It doesn't. It's that it's Hein Rabisei because nothing has to be done even. It's your body just does its natural thing and expels it once it's done with it. So that's the major svara with those stitches.
It feels awfully similar to the scab, which we say once it dries, it becomes a chatzitza.
So
coming off, that's when it actually becomes a problem.
Right, with the scab, once it's dry and it's no longer needed, it taka becomes a chatzitza. So why is this any different? A good question. Meaning you'd be better off when the stitches are still, which that's pashut, right? Meaning you're definitely better off if, let's say, the doctor says these stitches need to stay in for 3 weeks and you're a week and a half in, right? That's the best, because then you know that you really need them, and the fact that you really need them, you have more of a svara of Hein Rabisei. That's fair.
Maybe
that's
once
good.
The first one falls out, we have to be knocked there and say, until the rest fall out, we can't.
I don't know about that, because sometimes there are dozens and dozens of them. So the first one falling out just means the edge of the wound. Yeah, but okay. Also, a lot of times it's not so clear that it's in the base of starting. It could be the borderline balua, meaning far, far back in the mouth by the wisdom teeth, and it's especially when you do the implant stuff. So when they put in the, you know, implants work, they essentially attach like a metal, what looks like metal, a base to your jaw, you know, that will hold the tooth, that will hold the fake tooth on it. But when they put it in, they close up the skin over it and stitch that up so that till it heals, till the bone heals and everything. And then you go back a few months later, they open it up and they stick the crown on it, right? That's my basic recollection of how it works. But a lot of times it's like very deep under the surface of the gums or deep in the mouth, way, way back in the mouth, where maybe you have that svara that it's in the makom balua, not in the makom beis hasadar. What about the, I don't even know if this is where they wear it, the diabetes thing, yeah? So what about that thing, right? Whatever it's called. Not the pump. The pump is easy. The way it works is diabetics have this little patch that has a needle in it that gets inserted in their skin, and the patch has an adhesive that sticks to their skin, and they attach a pump to the outside of it. Now, it self-monitors, and when the monitor tells the pump that a person needs insulin, it pumps them with a little insulin. Now, the pumps themselves stay attached to the person, but they're easy. You could switch them out, and they're very cheap, and they're, you know, you can throw them out. It's no big deal, right? So, for sure, a woman wouldn't go to the mikveh with the pump. The problem is with the patch itself. Now, the way these things work is that you change them every 2, 3, 4 weeks. And insurance typically, and they're a little more expensive, a lot more expensive. And insurance will typically pay for X amount a month, right? Meaning you get one or two of these a month, and they're not going to pay for more than one or two a month. And once you take it off, you got to throw it out. Once you take it off, you can't put it back in. So this could be a real problem for a diabetic. So if a woman is able to arrange her cycle in such a way that she'll get her period dafka when she's going to change the thing anyway, so then that's great. It's complicated enough to schedule tefillos. We know that the way life works is not always, you know, as scheduled as, you know, you plan out exactly. You know, a lot of times you talk to Chasan and Tala and they're like, oh, we go on birth control for, you know, 3 months and 12 days because we could have a baby at exactly winter vacation next year. It's like, you know, it doesn't work that way. You don't get to determine when Hashem is going to, you know, put a baby in there. You don't get to, you have a little bit of a say, but you don't get the final say. So a lot of times people have all sorts of plans, right? They have big plans about, so it doesn't work. It doesn't necessarily work to have all these plans. What do you do then? Is there any tzad to be mekel? So no, what's the tzad to be mekel? So first of all, it's not part of the body, it's something foreign to the body. So that makes it a little harder, right? It makes it a little harder than the dreadlocks, let's say. Right? But on the other hand, it's for refuah, potentially sakana, right? Diabetes could be dangerous if not treated properly, although she could just do the old-fashioned, you know, what Mr. Wolfson used to do in shul, and you know, just prick herself and take the, you know, the old-fashioned blood test constantly to see when she needs insulin. Yeah.
The Zichron Yosef.
Yeah, the Zichron Yosef that it's supposed to be there for X amount of time, and it's not yet time to take it out. So I've seen the poskim have said the pump for sure you throw out, but if push comes to shove, we could be makel on the. I forgot what it's called. Someone, anyone look it up? Google, whatever. On the other part. The port. Maybe that's what it's called, the port. So they're makil on that. Okay, so good. Now let's move on to fingernails. The background is that there's a Mishnah Mikvaos. The Mishnah says the dough underneath fingernails is a chatzitza. And the Mishnah says, surprisingly, soa tachas hatziporen is not a chatzitza. If there's schmutz under the tziporen, under the fingernail, that is not a chatzitza. The Tosefta in Mikvos elaborates and says, soa shetachas hatziporen shelo keneged habasar, and do shetachas hatziporen afilu keneged habasar elu chotzim. That soa shetachas hatziporen only when it's further up on the fingernail, not keneged habasar. Meaning what the Tosefta does is it splits the fingernail into two parts, right? There's the part that goes up until the height of the basar of the finger, and then the part that extends above that if a woman has long nails. So when do we say tzoa tachas hatziporen is a chatzitza? That's only when it's shalo keneged habasar. But if it's keneged habasar, then it's not a chatzitza. So the way to solve any problems of tzoa tachas hatziporen that might be a chatzitza is just cut her, if she were to cut her nails to the length of the basar, where there is nothing that extends above the basar, then there's no problem of tzotach sitziporin. Right? That's what it would seem from the Tosefta. So the but on the other hand, the Mishnah said tzotach sitziporin is not a chatzitza and didn't qualify it. It didn't make this distinction between, you know, along the full length of the fingernail versus keneged habasar. So how do you resolve that? So the Rash for Rabbein Yeruchim say that the Tosefta is correct, and they assume that there's no machlokas. The Tosefta is just elaborating on the Mishnah, that the Mishnah said tzotach svar is not a chatzitza, and the Tosefta is saying ba'med varam amurim that it's not a chatzitza. That's only when it's keneged habasar. But shalo keneged habasar is going to be a chatzitza. The Ramban, in the second paragraph of Mitzvos, lists dough and mud under nails as a chatzitza, and he says, tzomatach satziporin is a non-chatzitza. And he doesn't make a distinction between keneged habasar and not keneged habasar. Apparently he holds that it argues on the Mishnah, we pass like the Mishnah. So whereas the Rashba and the Rash and Rabbi Yeruchim say, no, there's no machlokas over here, we paskin. Tzotach satziporin is a chatzitza when it's shalo keneged habasar. The Ram says no. Tzotach satziporin is never a chatzitza because we pass like the Mishnah against the Tosefta. Third shita is the Mordechai. The Mordechai and Tosos say that only moist tzotach satziporin is not a chatzitza. We'll have to get into that. Liquids are wet things ever going to be a chatzitza? So the Mordechai says if the tzotach satziporin is still moist, it's not a chatzitza. But once it dries, it could be a chatzitza. And that's what the Tosefta was talking about when it was dry. The Mishnah, it says it's just not a chatzitza at all, it's talking about when it was very moist. Rabbi Natan distinguishes between soa hanidbekas l'sha'ena nidbekas, to reconcile the Mishnah and the Tosefta, which is a similar distinction. Right? Does it stick or does it not stick? Like Rabbi Sablasi was talking about yesterday, right? What do you call stuck and what do you call just blocking? Right? So is it a kind of soa that's sticky? Or is it a kind of soil that's not sticky? Similar to the dry versus moist kind of distinction. Lich ora, this whole discussion sounds silly. No? There's one rule about chatzitzas. What's the rule? You only have to ask yourself two questions. Is it rov? It's not. And is it makbid? So that's it. Just find out if it's makbid. You need a klalim about soa keneged habasar, shalo keneged habasar, dry, moist. Kind of klalim. Is it makbid or is there no makbid? So the Torah certainly implies that it depends on makbid, because he says umihu ein derech b'nei adam lahakbid b'kach hilkach mishen makbid ein chazit. He says since it's not the derech of b'nei adam to be makbid about this, so if you're not personally makbid, then it's not going to be a problem. Which really raises the question, you know, Beis Yosef is bothered. Why would the Mishnah Tosefta not just say, you know, that it's better than that? Why would they just say that it's an iser? Why not mention that it depends on makbid? So the Beis Yosef says that women are definitely makbid about this, because people will think they're unclean. So batel daita is zodaskalada. Even if the woman is ena makpedes, normal women don't want to appear unclean. If it's so minuscule that people wouldn't be makbid, then it would be a mitzvah makbid. If it's such a tiny, tiny amount of Torah that no one would be mad with it, that is a mitzvah mad with it. The Yosef then has a lengthy discussion of the Shitas HaRashba and maybe a difference between the Tilas Yadayim and Tevila, right? Someone asked what Yosef said about that yesterday. Okay, so where does this leave us? Halacha? So the Mordechai writes that women have a minhag to cut their nails before going to the mikvah, out of concern that the dirt beneath their nails might be a chatzitza. And this is according to Shulchan Aruch, Sif Yud Ches. Right, Shulchan Aruch writes, if you chas, tzor shtak sesporn shlo keneg lebasa chotzeitz, keneg lebasa heinu chotzeitz, o betzik shtak sesporn afil keneg lebasa chotzeitz, vezu shlo keneg lebasa, shes sesporn odef al lebasa, he defines the location, u lefi she'en ad nicholutz l'chavi man nikra keneg lebasa, o shlo keneg dom, no guana shum litol tzipanei v'shas tvila. He says, because it's still difficult to know exactly what's called keneg lebasa, what's not called keneged habasar. So the minig is that women cut their nails before going to the mikvah. So the simple reason is just that it's difficult to figure out what's considered keneged habasar. Chachmas Adam therefore writes, how much should women cut their nails? Ad keneged habasar. That's it. And this is something that a lot of times the Chachmas Adam is carefully writes, ad habasar v'lo yoser. Why is he so careful to write v'lo yoser? women who are very nervous about this, or who generally struggle with OCD, sometimes really end up hurting themselves, and really causing, you know, injuries, wounds, which ultimately can be more chatzitza shailas as well, because they're cutting all the way down, as far down as you can, and that's not so good. So the Mordechai says, ad keneged avasar v'lo yose. She should cut her fingernails short-ish, but not totally, totally short. Only until keneged avasar. The Ravan in the Seches Nida adds that there's another issue over here, and there may be another reason to cut the fingernails. Not only because I'm worried about the dirt under the fingernails, maybe the fingernails nail itself is a chatzitza. Why? So the Ravan writes, "Kala omid b'gazes is k'gazes dami." Anything that, just give me a minute, anything that you plan on cutting in short order, you know, in soon, is considered as if it's already cut. So if it's already cut, then it's chatzitza because it's foreign substance. In Sefer Truman, Hilchos Nida, Simukov Dali brings a raya against this from the Mishnah in the 10th paragraph of Vavos. The Mishnah says, that I referred to earlier, that if a kli has a long handle that eventually is going to need to be cut, let's say you have a little pot and somehow they messed up in the factory and the handle is like, you know, 2 feet long, and you know, it can't go into the kitchen every time that pot's on the stove, or it ruins the balance of the weight of the pot. Right? They accidentally left the handle too long. So the Mishnah Mikvot says, if it has a long handle, it's going to need to be cut. There's machlokas tanayim, whether you need to tovel the entire handle, or just to the point where you're actually going to use it, and you know, the point that's going to remain uncut. But nobody says in the Mishnah, no, what would you expect it to say? You can't tovel it till you cut it, because whatever is omeidli gazes, kigazel's dami, and shvi chatzitza. No one says that in the Mishnah. So comes along the Sefer Truman, he says, isn't this a raya that we don't say such a svara? So the Shulchan Aruch in Sivchav says, Davka betzuk shtaksa tziporun chotetz, afilu tziporun atzma einu chotetzes, v'afilu maisa gedolo va'omedes lichotech uparachas va'overus b'kenegel ha'basar, einu chotetzes. That no matter how long your fingernail is, even if you have those crazy long nails, like the ladies in the Guinness Book of World Records, right? Eina chotzetes. But then the Rama adds, Umeachar de kvar nagu lital latziparayim afilu tzipar nachas nisho biyada betavla tzricha tefila acheres. But since the minute became that we cut our fingernails, so if she leaves one nail uncut, you need another tefila. So the Shach and Sifkat and Chafei over here points out that the Rama seems to be going like the Ravan, who's equally machne, right? Because that was the Ravan said that kol amid gazes dami. So the Rama seems to be saying exactly that. That since the minhag is that people cut their nails, and she didn't cut one of them, she's got to go to the mikveh again. But the Marami Lublin is a tshuva where he says it's only a chum, and if the woman's gone home already, even if she hasn't slept with her husband yet, she wouldn't have to be tovelas. So the Shach himself concludes that if she's been with her husband, she definitely doesn't need to be tovelas again. This is really all a chum. Meaning, if you had a legitimate chatzitza, a legitimate mila makdid, she'd have to go to the mikveh again if she's been with her husband. This isn't really a chatzitza meikar edid. That's how the Shach comes out. Now, Rav Chaim Eizer, in Shubas Achiezer, Chel Gimel, Sama Lamed Gimel, talks about a woman who refuses to cut her nails. This is still a phenomenon that happens nowadays. That there are women that say, absolutely refuse. They're very attached to their fingernails. They absolutely refuse to cut their nails short. So he points out that for them it's not only the gazes. So if your concern is calling me the gazes dummy, that's good for the point. It's not only the gazes for them. They're refusing to cut their nails. So you're not going to say it's only the gazes for them. So it's not going to be chatzitza. What about the tzoa tachas hatzipor? So clean it out. Clean it out as best as you can. But he says, I would never prevent a woman from going to the mikveh because she refuses to cut her nails. Meaning I would try to encourage her to do what the minhag that the Rama says, to cut the nails, because that's what the Rama says you're supposed to do. But you can't prevent a woman from going to the mikveh because of that. You know, there's a tshuva in the Chasam Sofer, in Yerodeus and Kutzadi Hei, about why it is, you know, by the Hasidim, by the Hungarians, they had the practice that a woman, a kala, before the wedding, goes to the mikveh. We have that practice also. And then their practice is that after Bia Rishona, she shaves her head. and that's for the rest of her life. She's always going to shave her head. So the Chasam Sofer discusses, why isn't her hair a chatzitza? Kalomi the Gazis Kagazistan. Right? The plan is to shave her head tomorrow night. So why isn't the hair a chatzitza? Oh, so the Chasam Sofer essentially says, Omei Lin means without something else happening in between. She would never shave her head until she has Biyom Rishona. So since she's waiting for the other shoe to drop, right, she's waiting for something else to happen to then trigger the desire to shave her head. So right now, it's not Omei Lin. The definition of Omei Lin is not based on time, it's based on whether there's anything else that needs to happen. So if there's something else that needs to happen, then it's not called Omei Lin. Now, clearly, a woman shouldn't wear fake fingernails. However, since they can't easily be removed for a while, those, you know, really the gel manicures, Rav Neuvert thinks it's similar to a glass eye, and it's not a chatzitza. Rav Moshe writes in Yodei Chalakal Tzim Kuvdalit about a glass eye, that the Shol Meshav is Mekel, because Shuhu Lenoi Ve'ina Makpedes, Rav Shetzrich La'asiru Kedei Shol Yiskalkel, even though it's annoying and somewhat painful, still it's annoying and therefore she prefers it. Ramosha vehemently disagrees because he thinks the fact that she would remove it at night when it's uncomfortable and nobody's around is analogous to a taba'as b'shas lisha, but that Ramosha's taina on the glass eye doesn't apply to gel manicures. So Rav Moshe then discusses if it would need to be removed to protect it, like to wash it. So Rav Moshe writes, we don't have to get into the glass eye. In short, it's fake eyes and fake fingernails are probably a little bit different from each other. But fake fingernails is more room to be made. You have to look at the truth about Rav Moshe. Now, one last thing for nails, just to finish this up. Maybe I'll go a little bit over time, I apologize. Cutting nails on Shabbos. What if Hillel tefillas Friday night and she forgot to cut her nails? So based on everything we learned so far, how big a deal was it to cut her nails for the mikvah? So there are two issues. There's the issue of the tzoa tachsa tziporin, but if you pass on like the Mishnah, tzoa tachsa tziporin is never chotze, you got nothing to worry about. And even if you say like the tosefta, that's only shalok negel abasar, but maybe you could just clean it instead of, right? We don't automatically assume there's tzoa tachsa tziporin. And the other is omid ligazes, right? That the nails themselves are omid ligazes. Are you going to say that it's omid ligazes when she doesn't feel she needs to cut her nails, she's only doing it for the mikvah? Hard to call that omid ligazes. If she forgot to cut one nail, that's omid ligazes, a lot more. So the Taz says, just clean them out. You don't have a non-Jew cut them, because that's going to lead to misayeya, meaning you can have a non-Jew, you're going to ask a non-Jewish manicurist to cut her nail for her, so she's going to move her finger in such a way, make it easier. That's misayeh, yesh bo mamish. It's like having a non-Jewish barber, give you a haircut to cut off your payas, and you tilt your head that way, so you're a nikaf, and it's a misayeh, and you're in violation also. Nekudas HaKesef, the Shach, Nekudas HaKesef disagrees. He says, no, ask a non-Jew. The din misayeh, he says, I'm not worried about. He says, din misayeh is only by a makif nikif. That's only by payas. There's no din misayeh by kol tarum kula. It's not so pasha, by the way. Min chaschinuch raises such a suffix, let's say by the iser of neutering a person. Right? What do they call it? A giving a vasectomy. Right? So is there an iser on the person getting the vasectomy? Or only the person doing it? Right? Meaning if you're going to be a doctor and you're doing rounds as a resident or whatever, and a lot of times they give the residents, an opportunity to participate in the procedure, and they jump at the opportunity because it's so exciting for them. So the doctor's doing the vasectomy, and he says, which resident wants to come and give a slice, right? So if you're from, your answer has to be, not me. Right? You're not supposed to, if he offers you, say, no thanks. Because that's an issur d'oraisa mamash, right? That, there's no question, that's an issur d'oraisa. What about being the guy on the table, right? That's the shaila. Remember I told you that shaila? I think I told you that shaila. The guy from South America that realized that he could stay married to his non-Jewish wife if she converts, if he just gets a vasectomy because he's a Kohen, but then it'll be a Petzua Daka, and a Petzua Daka is allowed to marry a Gioras. So, it's an issue to get a vasectomy, but he said, okay, so I'll do one Aver, and then an Aver every single time. I'm with my Shiksa wife, right? So, So he was willing to take the risk. So the question is, that even an avera? Is it even an avera of getting the vasectomy? Right? Meaning it could be that it's not an avera. Rav Shechter thought that if you can't find a non-Jew, then it's enough of reason to delay tevila until Motzei Shabbos, not to rely on the taz and just clean out underneath. If they didn't cut the nails, delay tevila until Motzei Shabbos. Rav Vosner writes, even if you can find a non-Jew, delay tevila until Motzei Shabbos, do not rely on that taz. And final thing. Nail polish would seem to be a classic miut hamakdir. However, if her nails look really good with that nail polish, and they're not like an offensive color or an offensive design or whatever, right? I mean, it's something that any context it would be appropriate for. L'chorot to miut she'eno makdir. And it's pretty explicit, really, in Sif Yud Zayin, that that's the case. Poskim, however, Rav Neubert in particular, says obviously it's best to remove nail polish, but if she refuses to take off the nail polish, let her go with the nail polish on. Right? Not just the extended nails we spoke about before, nail polish also. Now, if nail polish is chipped or it's imperfect, then it becomes a mi'ir ha-makbid. And once it's a mi'ir ha-makbid, then it's chatzitza. So Rav Neubert says that let's say a woman is having trouble getting her nail polish off. One of these fancy manicures that you can't get off easily. But she got like half of it off. What's the best etza? Put on more. Right? Meaning you're not going to get the rest off, so now you have a mi'ir makdir. But if you just paint on the rest, fill it in, then you'll have a mi'ir she'eino makdir. Sha'asav ka could be a dummy, so you can do it. Put it on, counterintuitive. Put on more nail polish so that you won't have a chatzitza and you'll be able to go to the mikvah. That's what Neuver writes in his little sefer on chatzitza. Okay, then tomorrow we'll go right and we'll talk about makeup and fake eyelashes and all these exciting things.